אור החיים הקדוש, פרשת ויחי, תפשין עין זין. ויחי יעקב. So the first question that he has, which is a big, so distinct question, that other Rishonim ask also, we know that Yaakov is called Yaakov and Yisrael. So the question becomes, why is he sometimes called Yaakov, why is he sometimes called Yisrael? ויחי יעקב. תם קריאס שמו יעקב, אחר אשר אמר אליו השם, לא יקרא וגומר, and we already know from Parshas Vayishlach that it wasn't just the Malach who called Yaakov Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not going to be called Yaakov anymore, you're going to be called Yisrael. So why is it that we so often find that even afterwards he's still called Yaakov? Kvar kasavti v'parshas Vayishlach, v'feresh pasach lo yikari v'gomer. I already explained over there on that pasuk that unlike Avram, who got a name change, and the Gemara says that anyone who calls Avram Avram is over below Sasei, with regard to Yaakov, he kept both names. Ki litzad shem nafsho hakavu abo asher shama Yaakov ki adu midivrayim shapirshu ba'pasuk asher sam shamus ba'aretz, where the Gemara in Brachos and Dav Zayin says, how do we know that a person's name is megala their essence? And the Gemara darshins al tikri shamos, which means chorban, rather read it shamos, names. So we know that mitzad, his essence, the name of his nefesh hakavua is Yaakov, and that's never going to change. Uletzad shodeno biibo leze lo yeaker shema ubeis shamos yikraulo, and this name Yisrael is being added to him as an additional name. And again, unlike Avraham, who underwent a name change, it's interesting, I don't remember which parsha it's in, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says that the reason that it's so terrible, I mean, he asked the question, why is it so terrible to call Avraham Avram? What's so bad about him being Avram? Yaakov is Yaakov and Yisrael, they both have Milah, so what was so bad about switching from Avram to Avraham? What would be so bad to call him Avram? So he says, as he often does, he's very quick to pick on Esav and Yishmael, to try to discredit them. So he says, when you call Avraham Avram, you're tapping back into the name of Avram, who had a son Yishmael. Once you call him Avraham, then you're cutting off Yishmael, and you're focusing on Avraham's connection to Yitzchak and to Yaakov v'chulu. So that's one of the reasons he explains that Avram had to be removed from use. But again, we need to understand here, if Yaakov and Yisrael are both names, so how does the Torah decide when to use Yaakov and when to use the name Yisrael? And that's his next question. We need to investigate. How does the Torah decide? How does the Kadosh Baruch Hu decide which name is appropriate in which situation? Certainly, with regard to Klal Yisrael, who are sometimes called Yisrael and sometimes called Yaakov, so that will depend on our behavior. When we behave properly, we'll be called Yisrael. When we behave improperly, we'll be called Yaakov. Kishosim Ritzono Shamakum B'Shem Yisrael Yechaneh Osam Ulehefech Yikra Shemam Yaakov. So when we act properly, we're Zochet in the name Yisrael. And the opposite, we're called Yaakov. V'chein Hu Ramaz B'Dereim. That's what Chazal seemed to hint to in the Zohar Kaddish. V'tam Zeh Lo Yitztak B'Yaakov Ki Yashar Pa'olo B'Tmidus. But we can't use that explanation for Yaakov because Yaakov is always good, which means we should always want to call him Yisrael, in terms of his personal spiritual behavior. So how does the Torah decide when he's Yaakov, when he's Yisrael? So the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, Achein lihios she'anaf ha-muskel, asher nes'atzem Yaakov la'asigo, she'be'emtza'uso b'shem Yisrael yiskan, u'bechinas kedusha elyona. This spiritual level that Yaakov is seeking, that he wants to be worthy to live up to this name Yisrael, and to reach this level of kedusha elyona, in order to be called Yisrael, a person has to lift himself above any worry or any sadness or any pain or any lowliness in this world. Meaning to attain the spiritual level of Yisrael, you have to detach yourself from much of Olam Hazeh's emotional experiences. Pasuk says, "Keep a simcha teitzeu, hu b'shalom tuvalun." Right, and Sefer Chabad and many Sefer Chassidus explain, "Kiv simcha teitzeyu," that a person frees himself from any difficulty through simcha. I was thinking this week that explains, it's so interesting, that for all those years that Yaakov is in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have Ashras Hashchina. He's, you know, to say such a thing about Yaakov is a funny thing to say, but he seems depressed over the loss of Yosef. He's not able to be comforted, And then he comes to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden he gets his Hashoras HaShechina back, and he's living the best years, the Tov, the last 17 years of his life, the best years of his life in Mitzrayim. What's so interesting, the reason that things were so difficult in Eretz Yisrael was because of his lack of simcha. With his restoration of Yosef, he gets his simcha back and he mamish frees his soul. But it's so interesting that in Eretz Yisrael, which is a place of Hashoras HaShechina, Eretz Yisrael, which is a place that's unbelievable with regard to its expansion. It's called Eretz HaTzvi, the Gemara says, because just like the skin of a deer stretches, so too Eretz Yisrael stretches. The Makom HaMikdash, Omdim Tzvufim, Mishtachim Ravachim, they bow down, the Mikdash expands itself. So Eretz Yisrael, which is a Nachla B'li Meitzarim, he's dafka completely closed up because he doesn't have Simcha. He comes to Mitzrayim, which is Mamash HaMeitzar, and he's free. He's free as can be, his soul is totally free. And that's because he was able to overcome all of his pain and worry once he was finally reunited with Yosef. So it's just interesting that a place of such openness, he was so closed, and a place that's so closed, a Meitzar of Mitzrayim, he's so open. Very interesting thing to think about. So again, if a person wants to have a lofty level of spiritual connection, he has to detach himself from worry and from sadness and from lowliness. And if you want to experience this, each person, according to our Madrega, Shabbos. Shabbos is what? Is a yom of it's a nachla b'li meitzarim. Right? Kol ha'maanigas ha'Shabbos, the Gemara says, is zoicha to a nachla b'li meitzarim. So Shabbos, we have a simcha, we have an oneg, and our spirit is freed to have spiritual, to reach new spiritual heights. So v'hayo la'os b'nei necha, yom Shabbos l'menucha, asher tziva Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. V'hu letam neshama yisera, hu letzad shmi makom elyon ba. Yitzav Hashem laharchich hayagun v'akas v'lekro l'shabbos oneg. So because Shabbos is such a spiritual time, Hashem is giving us a neshama yisera, there's an extra expectation that a person is going to overcome any sadness or any anger, any negative midah on Shabbos. It's just not fitting that it should coincide with the oneg of Shabbos. V'hein ha'dvarim atzom ne'amrim b'Yaakov. And this is exactly how to understand Yaakov and Yisrael. Ba'asagaso she'im ha'elyon ha'shem yagid kitziva Hashem yitoas ha'neshama elyona ba'al ha'shem zeh shel Yisrael. U'mishkana bo'hu Zahu calls man she'ain sham itzavon va'anaf hanegdi k'tzas l'simcha v'lishleim es hakadusha v'tara. So the name Yisrael is an indication that Yaakov had attained that higher level, and dwelling within him is that higher spiritual connection, where he's no longer saddened, that he's no longer, nothing is countering his simcha, and there's a feeling of shleimus. Simcha and shleimus, by the way, are always connected. Maharal writes in the Chidushei Agados in Yevamos that hashoy b'lo isha shoy b'lo simcha. Person who's not married doesn't have simcha. So the Maharal explains it's very simple, because when you're not married, you're only half a person. And if you're half a person, you're not a shalom. If you're not a shalom, you're not besimcha. So therefore, a person without a wife is not besimcha. So these two things are very much connected. So when Yaakov had simcha, and he had shleimus, and he was able to have kedusha and tara, he's called Yisrael. The same way that we feel when Shabbos is over, right? Shavas v'yinafash. And when Shabbos is over, Vayav the Nefesh, the Gemara says, we're saddened that the Neshama Yisera left us. We leave that spiritual heights. We come back to the planet Earth. We're human again. We have regular emotions and frustrations. Uva osas man lo yikra lo Yisrael. Ki balas Hashem holcha lo ve'ena. That level is no longer present by him. Oz v'yikra shemo Yaakov. So then he's called Yaakov. V'tashuv od ha'neshama ahi be'emtzas ha'chanas v'atzas ha'muchan ka'ashavas ha'shama yaser b'chol Shabbos ha'shabbos. And the way that we get back to it is we work on ourselves, we prepare ourselves, we try to conquer these lower emotions and midos, and we're able to come back to Shabbos the same way. Be'emtzas ha'chanas yom ha'kudosh, when we prepare for Shabbos, that's why all the Sefarim say, Rav Pam, it's written in the Sefer, but they also talk about this a lot, and a lot of Sefarim point this out. There's a danger of ka'as on Erev Shabbos. It's very easy to get angry on Erev Shabbos. It's not just because it's the pressure of Shabbos. There's a certain tension, azelu mazez. We're making hachanas to detach from, to enter into that elevated spiritual realm where there's no kas, and there's a sense of oneg, the sense of nachalab limitzar, and there's a Shabbos v'yinafash. So, you know, at the last minute, the Yitzhara flares up, so to speak. And in those moments leading into Shabbos, there's often a lot of struggle and tension in the home. But that's because, again, we're about to transition out of that world of Kas and Yagon Vachulu into a Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Okay, so that's how we experience this this madrig of Yisrael on a weekly basis. So now, with this understanding, we can understand that b'chol makom asher b'shem Yaakov yiskana hu l'siba asher yerasham davar mechinas ha'etzav ha'yagon. So whenever we find that Yaakov is still called Yaakov, it's because he's experiencing some type of struggle or difficulty or sadness. And when he's called Yisrael, those are the elevated moments. And he says, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside now, but just, well, I'll say it a little bit outside. I'll give you a short, he said, I put together a small list just to show you that this actually plays itself out throughout the life of Yaakov. Lamashal, he says, when Rivka passes away, when his mother passes away, he's called Yaakov. When Rachel passes away, again, he's called Yaakov. When later he hears the good news about Yosef, from that point forward, he's called Yisrael. He's called Yisrael. In the preparation for his death, Shum Leichem, open chair. In the preparation for his death, again, he's called Yisrael as he's reaching new spiritual heights in his end. So the question has to, the question we're sort of left with is, again, why is it Vayechi Yaakov, right? What's the Vayechi Yaakov here? Okay, so we'll have to see. It's going to become clear. It's going to become clear as we go. So jump ahead to the next paragraph. This he gives all of his examples.
What is the term?
It's just the Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Yitzrayim, the Gomer. Yeah? Okay, we're in Mem Zayin Pasuk Chaf Ches. The second piece. So what's the right? So according to this, again, if the 17 years of Yitzrayim are the good years of his life, we would think that it's Vayechi Yisrael. Now things are finally getting good. But the Vart's going to be, Tzvas Emes has this barichos, the Vayechi Yaakov is no, that through these good years, and the Rechaim is going to explain very beautifully, we're going to now redefine all the Yaakov years. That when your life gets to a certain tranquility, you're able to understand. It's the way Rav Soloveitchik used to explain. I thought it's such a profound insight. The way the Rav explains that a person who does tshuva me'ava zidonos naslo kizchuyos. So most of us probably think of that as some type of metaphysical reality, that Hashem opens the books in Shemayim and takes the averos and turns them into mitzvahs. The Rav says, no, it's a much more simple psychological principle, that when I learn from my mistakes, that my mistakes weren't really mistakes. It was a stepping stone to become a better person. So when I do tshuva with an understanding that yes, I messed up, but now I feel elevated by that mistake because I can be so much better because that. Had I not made the mistake, I never would have learned this lesson. That's what it means. My avera ke'ilu is redefined as a mitzvah, and that it was an important part of my spiritual growth. So the Vayechi Yaakov, just to give you a little hint to where we're heading here, the Vayechi Yaakov is going to be the same idea. That through the chiyas that he attained in Mitzrayim, Vayechi Yaakov, he was able to redefine even the Yaakov moments of his life. Okay, so let's see. Let's see that next paragraph. Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. Tzarech ledas. Lo mahutzrech lomer mashachayu be'eretz Mitzrayim. First of all, we know at this point he's in Mitzrayim. He could have just said Vayechi Yaakov. We know he's arrived in Mitzrayim. Va'od kasha lo hayetzarech lomer ela vayechi yimei Yaakov. Kuf mem zayin. V'gomer. He could have just said he lived 147 years. I could have figured out that from the time he arrived before Paro and introduced himself at 130, he's telling me he lives 147, I could have told you that the difference is 17. Why does the Pasuk specifically say, Vayehi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayev Sheva Shanim? Right, sorry, that's not true. Why does the Pasuk say, Vayehi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esrei Shana? Tells me he lived in Mitzrayim 17 years. I know he's in Mitzrayim, I could calculate the 17 years on my own. Why does it need to tell us this? We could figure it out based on what we learned in Vayigash. He says, when Yaakov said, Shnei Megurei Shloshu Ma'as Shana, I lived 130 already. So just tell me his total is 147 and we'll do the math. Oud lama hutzrich lomer Shnei Chayav. Why does it have to say, Vayhi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav? Why does it have to say Shnei Chayav? Why doesn't it just say, Vayhi Yimei Yaakov, and give us the number? So he says the following. Yaakov had a very difficult life. The Yaakov part of his life was very difficult. From the time he was born, his adversary was born alongside him. Right? He was grappling with Esav Mamish from the womb. Ve'ela Mosif L'ralo. Ve'achrav Hukam Al Tzara Shal Dina. Ve'od lo. Vayavo Rogez Avedas Yosef, right? So at first he dealt with an Esav, then he dealt with a Laban, then he dealt with a Dina, then, as if that wasn't enough, Od Lo, he has to deal with Yosef. Vahu Shamar Kasa Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Yisrael Yud Zayin Shana Eilu Hayu Chaya V'lo Kodem. The first 130 years were not, where he was mamash not alive. Every step of the way was a struggle. And therefore now, these 17 years of Mitzrayim, he's finally living. V'samach l'za'omro v'yihi yimei chayav shnei chayav. As if to say, what? L'irmoth shehein hein ahayu yamav. Shehayu lo behem chiyas. These were the good years, when he was alive. Look at this fast sentence throughout the parsha. He keeps quoting from Chiddush Arim. What a paradoxical statement. V'yihi Yaakov eretz Mitzrayim. To be alive in Mitzrayim is a complete stira. Again, alive means to be lebedik in Mitzrayim, to be mamish alive, to be spiritually alive in Mitzrayim. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have a shras hashchina, and in Mitzrayim, you're sitting and learning with Yishuv Adas. That's a very ironic and paradoxical reality. But that's what's happening here, that after all of the years of suffering, right, Bikesh Yaakov Leishav B'Shalva, and Hashem says he's still got to deal with Yosef, now finally, V'yihi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayov. Again, finally, this is the years of real chiyus. And that's what it means, Vayihi Yimei Yaakov, Perish, Osem, Yud Zayin Shana, Shnei Chayim. Those are the real years of his life. These 17 years are mamish the real years of Yaakov's life. Shehayu lo behem chayim. V'nimshechas, and that's why it says, Yimei Yaakov, Yimash lamatmenam, Yimei Yaakov Shavasei Shana. So it tells us, it puts us, again, these phrases next to each other to give us this indication. Now it goes a step further now, because again, now that he's arrived here, so what, the first 130 years were a total waste? So he quotes an interesting idea from Tana de Be'al Yom. It says in the Medrash, Tana de Be'al Yom, Rab, in the fifth parak, it's a very interesting klal. Again, I don't know if it can be applied to all people. If we say this is only for tzaddikim, or this is true for everyone. But the rule is, Kol misha sof yamav bitova, ki'ilu kol yamav bitova. Right? All's well that ends well. That if you end your life in a good way, then we say that then your whole life was good. And if you end your life, chas v'shalom, in a bad way, then that's Hashem's way of saying, you thought things were good until now, your whole life was bad. Gemara says the Kalam Brachos, daf yud beis, hakol holich achar achitum. The way that we end things, the way that we seal things off, it's true in reciting a bracha, right? But it's true also in machshava, that we look at the end of something, we look at the beginning of something, we look at the end of something to really, that's machalukas b'shai b'shil. Do I start the strongest or do I end the strongest? Do I go 1-8 by the menorah or do I go 8-1? But the end is certainly indicative of the whole thing. It's a synopsis of the entire experience. And he says that's what the Pasuk in Iyov tells us. V'haya reishischa v'gomer. The Pasuk is, I think, V'haya reishischa mitzar. V'achirischa yiskemod. Your beginning was small and difficult, but your end was gewaldic. That's also the pshat of the Pasuk in Kohelis. Tov achris davar v'gomer. Right? What's the next word? Tov achris davar me'reishiso. Better is the end of the matter than the beginning. I mean, you learn more from the end than you do from the beginning. So that's what it means. Vayichi Yaakov Chaim Shal Shalva BeEretz Mitzrayim BeZehayu BeEinav Shehayu Yemei Yaakov Shnei Chayev. That from reaching this good point at the end of his life, Yaakov saw his whole life through the lens of this of these 17 years. Perish Shanim Shal Chaim Kol Yamav Shehim Sheva Shanim. The Gomer. That through this perspective, he was able to look back at the 147 and see them all as good. Why does it say Vayichi? Because Vayihi is a Lashon Tsar. So now we've sort of answered, let's just pause a second. We've sort of answered the question, if the klal is that Yisrael is the name of Yaakov and things are good, so why is it Vayihi Yaakov? It should be Vayihi Yisrael. These are the good years. But the point is that no, the chiyus from these years made Vayihi Yaakov made his whole life lebedik and worthwhile. It redefined the difficult years in a good way. Because however something ends, that redefines the whole experience. So why is it Vayihi? Vayihi Yaakov Eretz Yisrael Shavah Asrei Shana. Vayihi Yimei. Why Vayihi? Vayihi Yimei. That his life, Vayihi is the Lashon Tsar, the Rechaim says. Vayihi indicates something bad. Vayihi Lashon Tsar Yechavin Lomer. Yes. Shagam Shahayu Yama B'Tsar. Yes. It's true. Much, from a linear standpoint, much of, if you look at the course of his life, you see a lot of years of difficulty. And there was a lot of tzar along the way. Shagam shayu yom b'tzar, but afal pichein, chaz rein avlios kulam shachayim. So the tsar is not the punchline. The tsar is, yes, if you look at the course of Yaakov's life, you look at the Yaakov moments, you look at the Vayechi moments, it was a lot of brokenness. But the Vayechi Yaakov, Eretz Yisrael, those 17 years, redefines, again, the entire experience. And he says, it's also hinted to in the way the Torah presents the years of his life. What does it say? Sheva shanim va'arbaim u'ma'as shana. 7 and 40 and 100. That's unusual. Why is that unusual? He says, we need to think about this. Usually it puts the big number first. By Avram it says, Me'as shana, v'shivim shana, right? And then 5 years, 175. By Yitzchak it says, Me'as shana, 100 years, v'shmonim shana, and 8 years. By Sarah it says, 120 and 7. Why over here by Yaakov does it say what? 7 and 40 and 100. Because the end, those final years, right, that last stretch, were the good years. So how many were the good years? Was it 7 years? Was it 40 years? Right? It's not 147, but it's putting the last part, the latter part of his life, first, as if to say, these were the good years. Achron Chavim. Achron was so beloved, so it puts it first in recounting his life. We normally think it's 17 good years. So in the next piece he goes on and he has an interesting cheshbon. I'm not going to read it inside, but he has an interesting cheshbon to explain the really 47 good years of his life. Not all at the end. He says there were 13 years with Rachel, and then another 11 years from the time Yosef was born. And then you take these 17 years at the end, and then there's an overlap of 6 years. He puts together 47 years that are, so to speak, the good years. So that's why it says 7 and 40 and then 100. As if to say, those were the good years, and then there was the other part that was much more difficult. But primarily it was these 17 years. And then he says, okay, according to this, if there's so many good years, then what's the Vayihi? Okay, we need to understand the Vayihi a little better. He says maybe the Vayihi is going on the 33 years that he lost. And he explains, why did he lose 33 years? What would you say? What's the more famous reason why he lost 33 years?
Because he
complained to Paro 33 words. And you look, it doesn't seem to be 33 words. You have to figure out how to cheshbon the 33 words. Different ways to do it. One way is to take into consideration Paro's pasuk, right? The Chaim Shmulevitz says that because he presented himself with a sour face, the Paro even raised the question, he's held accountable for that. Let's say you get the 33 words. The other cheshbon, which the Baal Turim talks about, and he talks about here, is that Yaakov said, whoever stole Laban's idols, right, lo yichya, he's not going to live. He didn't know that Rachel stole. That's why Rachel dies prematurely, and that's part of the tragedy, but also Yaakov lost 33 years because of that incident. The Medrash says, Baal Turim quotes this. And Baal Turim says, and he also brings the remez here, that Yichya, when Yaakov said, Lo Yichya, Yichya is Gematria 33. So he lost 33 years because of that. So again, he's dealing with different cheshbonos about these numbers. And then he asks, why do you need to tell us 147 years at this point? He's about to bless his family. Why do I need to know the total of his life in order for him to give a bracha to his children? Again, he deals with that question also. Yeah, George, you want to say something?
No.
Okay, good. So let's go to Pasuk Chavtes. Let's jump at it. This is Mamash Yisodistic piece. He quotes from Arizal, and he says, we learned so many things from this Arizal, and we're not going to read them all, but we'll read a little bit of it. How did Yaakov know he's going to die? Okay, so B'derech HaPshah, you'll say, because he's feeling old and he's feeling that his life is running out. He's losing his energy. That's what the Ramban says, but he's not into that. He's not into that approach. Let's read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayikrivu Yimei Yisrael Amos, Pasuk Haftas, Vayikrivu Yimei Yisrael Amos, right? That the time for Yaakov's death drew close, and he calls Yosef and he says, do me a favor. Okay? So he writes, Kvar Kasavti V'samuch Minayin Yadam. We need to understand, we need to discuss it. I have discussed, we will discuss. How did he know? How did he know his life was coming to an end? Varamban Kasav Shiyada Mehargashas Afsas Kochosav. He realized that his physical strength was waning. Vein Dvar Zal Nirim, I don't like that explanation. Kikame Yamim Yichya Adam Acher Shiyaschel Lehechalesh. Sometimes you have a person, who feels old. I say, ah, oh, my end is near. They're talking very grim things, and they live another 10 years. Another 10 years of complaining for their children and grandchildren to have to put on a smile and to visit the grandparent to say, no, you're going to be okay, you know. And for that, I got one foot in the grave, it's all over. And then they live. So the fact that he felt weak, if that's really what's going on here, it's no indication that that's a sure sign that the end is near. Od yesh lomar ki hirgish me advar mesher yeru la'adam kodem moso al derech omrim zal b'sefer hazar. The Zohar has an interesting idea, and again he talks about this elsewhere in the Sefer. Can't remember where we saw it in one of the parashos. Ki shloshim yom kodem moso ma'avir mimenu atzelem. 30 days before someone passes away, their tzelem is removed, and the tzaddik is able to be aware of that. I think he probably had it in either Hazino or Zosa Bracham by the end of Moshe's life. I think maybe that's where he mentioned it. Okay, so a tzaddik is aware. He feels some spiritual change that's taking place inside himself. Okay, maybe. Then he says in the next paragraph, he quotes a little story from the Zohar to explain that idea. Then he goes to the next paragraph, Achein, Kavanas HaKasav Hu Al Pima Shekasav Ish Elokim Kadosh. Who is that? Rav Yitzchak Gloria Zatzal. Sechasadim Kadosh L'Vracha. Mitzasa Ki Tidroshenu B'Sefer Ki Hilas Yaakov. It's further discussed in the Sefer Ki Hilas Yaakov. And here's what he says. And this is a big yisod. V'amnam Yadata Mehischalkos HaNeshamos L'Kama Nitzotzos. A neshama is divided up. You can break up a neshama into its corresponding number of holy sparks. V'chol gilgul v'gilgul ba'am k'sas mehem. And each time a person comes to this world, he's working on X number of sparks. U'kefi mispar ha-nitzotos shel atzelem kach mispar yemei chayev. V'hayamim sh'osa behem ha-mitzvos niska nitzos echot shel atzelem ahu v'hu k'neged hayom ahu. That every day of our life, we're working, and it's actually a very powerful technique on a very practical Avodas Hashem level, to not to look at your life in like big, broad strokes, but to really understand that every single day there's a specific nekuda, a specific nitzot haneshama that corresponds to that day that you're working on, and that's your avoda. Right now, to not mess up this day. How am I gonna get through this year? No, just right now, hayom. Right now, you have a specific spark of your soul corresponding to this time your neshama is in this world that you're working on. V'hayom she'ein osa bo mitzvah nishar pagum nitzotahu shel atzelem ahu k'neged hayom ahu. And if a person fails on a particular day, so that spark of that day remains in a fallen state, it's damaged, and it's not able to be elevated. And he goes on to talk about this. The Rechaim HaKadosh is very excited about this. This idea of these nitzotzos corresponding to the number of days of your life, he's very excited about that. How many wondrous things, if we're paying attention, can we derive from this yesod? He says, number one, we have to understand what happens every night when we go to sleep. When we go to sleep at night, that nitzotz is being processed. That's why every day has to have a period of sleep to kind of put an end to that assignment, and to then have it processed on high, and to go on to the next assignment. Ki hi la'alos nitzos shekeneged hayom ahu, v'hu sod amram ki ashena echad misamach mehamisa. That every day, the same way over the course of one's entire life, we're trying to lift up these sparks, so every time you go to sleep, you're so to speak experiencing a miniature death. What does that mean? It means that nitzot is no longer connected to your neshama, but is being sent up. I mean, you're giving back part of your soul. Part of you is dying. You're giving back that spark, hopefully in a refined way. Now, if I give back my life on a daily basis, so that means over the course of my life, I should be getting weaker and weaker, which might be true. He says, well, you're not really totally detaching from it. It's no longer that nitzot, which was corresponding to that day, which filled your entire life and your entire reality, is now detaching from the entirety of you, is being processed on high. It maintains a connection to the lower part of your soul called the nefesh. And because you maintain a connection to it, you can still keep touching it up over the course of your life. And that's a big chesed, because sometimes you have a day that didn't work out so good. So if the day is going to be processed and it's lost forever, that's a big failure. וזה מחסד כל שכל ניצוץ שזכה ביומו, הנה הוא רחוק מההפסד, הגם שירשיע אדם אחר. Now the first advantage is if it was a good day, basically you send it up, and you don't have to worry about, you know, damaging it on a different occasion, right? That even if afterwards you have a really bad day, that ניצוץ is out of the way. For ניצוץ שעולה, אשר יעלה פגום, הנה הוא יוכל לתקן על ידי תשובה, ישוב הניצוץ ויתקן, גם זה מחסדי המסחסד, הוא אלוקינו יסע לשמו. And the fact you maintain someone with kasher to it, it gives you room to fix it if it needs fixing. So again, it's a big chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you an assignment for the day. Hopefully you finish the assignment, you hand it in, and then you have to worry, it's signed, sealed, delivered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over it. It's guarded. So even if you make bad choices the next day, you're safe. And if you still need to fix it up a little bit, you maintain enough of a kasher to it that there's room to fix it up. Okay? He says this also explains, and he's going to give an amazing mashal now, which is not something he does very often, what I've seen at least in Arachayim. He says this explains why we don't live as long as they used to live. Look what he writes. Gam heyir lemul einenu tshuvas tarumos b'nei adam, gam b'nei ish, mazos asalanu elokim, man nishtanu dorasenu midoros rishonim. Why is it that our generation is so different than the earlier generations? Asher savu chayim, tsha meos shanu shloshim ladam. Adam lived 930 years. V'chayim b'banav b'nei banav, 800 years, 700 years. V'anachnu hamafli b'chayim lo yigil meos shanu. People kamat don't even live 100 years today. So why is that fair? Why do we have such a short period of life to enjoy and to accomplish and to do? But now we have a very simple answer, and he says, I'll explain with a mashal. Imagine a king who takes from his quarry all sorts of precious gems and diamonds and stones, and he gives them to people in order to fix them up, to polish them up, to carve them, va'achana, right, for hayofi, va'achana, va'lasas lehem, mishvaso zav, kederach segula, samalachem, to prepare it the way that it should be fit for a king. V'gazar omer ki ha'ish hazariz v'amishtadu lasas atikin b'chol yishtadlus, and if you do a good job fixing up the diamonds, u'v'chol atikin va'yofi kasher tziva ha'melech, v'hayu lo ha'avana matovos lo lechelko v'nachalosu lishtasheyu lisanus behem, then you'll get a portion for you to enjoy. I'll give you some of the stones. The king gives major assignments, hands out large quantities of these precious stones to many people, each individual, 300,000. And to the next one he gives 350,000. Gives him a lot of work. So he says, listen, X number of stones, X number of days, work on one per day, and the time will come when I come to collect to see what they look like. So he summons them. So they show the king, no, this is what we did. And the king is so terribly disappointed. Not only did they not fix it up and beautify the stones, not only did they not do that, they dirtied the stones, they broke the stones, they damaged the stones. They're worse off than when they started. So angry at them. And he decides, you're no good, I'm going to appoint your children in your stead. The next generation comes. Now they have to carve the stones. They're terrified. We're going to mess up like our parents. We don't want to do what they did. So the king says, listen, I have an etza. He decides, I'm not going to give you so much work. I'll give you less work to do. Instead of 300,000, I'll give you 30,000 or 40,000. It's a lot less. Maybe they'll be able to carry out the work. So says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that's exactly the decision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made between the earlier generations, when he gave them hundreds of years. And over time, Hashem saw people aren't doing their assignment. And Hashem said, okay, so I'm going to give you a shorter life. I'll give you less nitotos to fix. And hopefully, maybe, you'll be able to do the job. The tragedy, of course, skipping ahead to the end of the paragraph, As he says, "Vehein b'yom b'hayom b'avaraseinu yemesh naseinu b'hem shivim shana." Today we live, 70 years, like David says in Tehillim. Shein b'keiruv chamisha ve'esrim elef yom, a total of 25,000 days or so, 25,000 sparks. V'rab b'nei amenu lo amdu b'avoda kala kazu. We don't even do the job. This simpler avoda, we don't even carry out the job. So how can we say we want more? It's not going to work. Yeah.
I don't understand this philosophy because he's saying that the reason why we're living so much shorter now than we did in the past is because
we're wasting most of our days.
He's giving us assignments. Wouldn't we need more time to do these assignments?
No, because one of the takeaways from this Arizal is that it's that Chelkei Neshama are divided by the days. Just go to the end of jump to the end of the piece, right where he comes back to Vayikra Yimei Yisrael Lamos. It's probably a couple further paragraphs down, right before Vayikra Livno Liyosef. He says one of the major takeaways from this Arizal, and he goes through, there's a lot more here. I'm just going to skip ahead because I want to see a few other pieces. But he says, "Gam hirvachnu das ki osim chelkei neshama nikram yam." We learn this yesod that a chelkei neshama is assigned per day. So, what you're saying that we have to, we need more time to get the assignment. No, the assignment is a daily assignment, and it's entirely realistic to finish the assignment per day. What percentage of the days I'm going to get right? Okay, as our percentage was dropping, Hashem in His mercy says, "I'll give you a smaller, assignment overall. I'll give you less days to get right, and hopefully you'll feel less overwhelmed by the entirity of the assignment." But in terms of the daily hashkafa, it's kavaldik to look at it day by day is a big chizuk in the assignment.
One day, then the whole assignment is buff.
That day is lost. But again, he separates the days that each day can start fresh. And there's still room for tshuva. And if you get a good day, it's put away.
So it's more that we're messing up than is that we need it
right.
Complete.
Correct. That's why we're given less gems to deal with. But it's a big yisod, I think, to break it up into pieces. There's a sefer called Mechitzas Rabbeinu. It's a Feldheim sefer. I think it's from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So it says there, from his son, Rabbi Yamin Kamenetsky, he said, "My father used to send me to the post office. And it was a long walk there and back, and it felt like such a long walk to schlep back and forth to the post office. My father gave me an eitzah. He said, on the way there, count the telephone poles. And when you count the telephone poles, instead of just having this long journey, you'll be able to say 15 telephone poles to go, 14 to go, 13 to go. You'll break it up into smaller chunks." And he said it was very helpful. It made the assignment seem less overwhelming as opposed to this whole long trip. I had checkpoints along the way. So I think that's the same yisod here. That if I have a daily, if I look at my life, yes, first of all, Hashem is making the assignment overall less in our times because He knows we can't handle so much. But to be able to just get my chelek haneshama of the yom, to get that job done, I think that's the goal. That's the way to look at it. So now, what does it mean? Coming back to our opening question. Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Amos. Yisrael's life was coming to an end. Again, he's called Yisrael here because he's making the preparations on a spiritual level to transition to the next world. So Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Amos. What does Yimei mean? Yimei is now the code word. Yamim, right? Yom, Yimei, is a code word for a chelek neshama. So Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lamos. That as Yaakov is about to die, all of his days are gathering to him. All of his chelkei neshama are gathering to him. Perush chelkei neshama sha'alu bimeru dvar yom biyomo hein ata karvu. Like it says in the pasuk Tosef Rucham, that when the tzaddik leaves the world, it's a beautiful thing. What's the pasuk by Avram? Va'Avraham zakein ba bayamim. How does the Zohar read that pasuk? As piyazetznim ramis to it. When he writes about that pasuk in Tzaviziris, right? That when the tzaddik leaves the world, all of his yamim, which means all the chalkei neshama, come to carry him to the next world, and he's mamish, it's kabbalik, right? He hasn't lived the same day over and over again. He has each day is its own beautiful diamond to present to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So vayikruvu yemei Yisrael lamus. What does it mean? Vahu amru lamus vehirgish Yaakov avinu betosefes hamaruba kibo yemei hashilum. How did Yaakov know he's going to die? Because he feels that he's that all of his days are sort of becoming to him. That all of his successes, all the chalkei neshama are now by his side. He's carrying this big bag of gems that he's about to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, as he finally detaches completely from those chalkei neshama and those yamim. And therefore, Vayikra Livno Yosef, he calls Yosef, to say, I know that my time is up. It's time to deliver the gems and the diamonds back to the Melech. It's a beautiful idea. And a lot of yesodos, both in terms of machshava and in terms of avoda, to think about. In the next piece, he talks about the question, a very interesting halachic question in terms of kibud avayim, vayikruvu livno liyosef. He calls to his son, to Yosef. Why does he have to say to his son? We know that Yosef is. And if it says he called to his son, we would also figure out Yosef. Why livno liyosef? What's the liyosef? Of course, the Gemara in Kedushin about the question of, again, a child and a... I mean, Yosef is a melech in Mitzrayim. So you have a little bit of a steer here. You have a kibud av issue, but you also have a din in malchus, the kavod of melech. So he discusses that. The fact that he's his son and he's Yosef, he's able to call Yosef to him as opposed to going to Yosef. But again, interesting, he has interesting halachic pieces as well. Okay, let's do, we have to stop in like 2 minutes. So let's just see, this is very, let's go to Mem Ches Vav. Mem Ches Vav. While you're finding it, when Yaakov says to Yosef, I want you to swear to me, and he says back to him, V'anochi asek kidvarecha, I'll do like you said, right? Reb Chaim HaKadosh learns it. This is Mem Zayin Lam, I'll just say it outside. But then we'll look at Mem Ches Vav. In Mem Zayin Lam, but Yosef says back to him, V'anochi asek kidvarecha, I don't need to swear to you. V'anochi asek kidvarecha, I'll do exactly like you said. First of all, I'm your son. And as a son, I have an obligation to provide for you when you're no longer alive. From a choshen mishpat perspective, in terms of taking care of a mace, I have an obligation to deal with you when you're gone. And I'll do kidvarecha without the shua. I don't need the shua. And the Rechaim has a very nice lashon. He says, "Vezehu dia Yosef alav hashalom tzidkaso ki chafetz chesed hu lasos dvar mitzvah mi ritzono hapashur." I don't need to be forced into it. It's my ratzon. He said, "I'm a melech. I'm busy." No. It was his basic desire of Yosef to want to do chesed, and therefore he says to his father, you don't have to feel like you need to swear me in to make sure I'm going to take care of it. I enjoy doing chesed. Yes, I have a lot of other responsibilities. Yes, mitzad kibud av ve'eim, mitzad kvuras hameis. You could argue in halacha. He said, no, anochi asek kidvarecha. You asked me to do it, and I'll do it for you. Because I want to do a chesed for another person. It's a nice lashon. Okay, but look, just let's conclude with Mem Ches Vav. We'll end with this one. Just to bring us full circle, as we come to the last parsha of Bereishis, I always point out from Sfasemis that Yosef, we'll see in this piece, Yosef has a quasi-av status. Sfasemis explains that's why Yosef, how does Vayechi end? That Yosef dies and they put him in a coffin and they bury him. And then Yosef's alive at the beginning of Shavuos again and it says, Vayamas Yosef, v'chol echav, v'chol adoro, Yosef dies again. Why does Yosef die twice? Why does he die in Bereishis and die in Shavuos? So the answer is, Fasema says, because Yosef, the book of Bereishis is the book of the Avos. The book of Shemos is the book of the Shvatim. Yosef straddles the fence in terms of being both an Av and being a Ben. He has a quasi-status as one of the Avos, and he's also one of the Banim, which is why his stone, which is on the Choshen, is also the stone worn on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol. Because the shoulders are opposite the neck, and the neck sort of serves as that bridge between the head and the body, between the Avos and the Shvatim. So Yosef is one of the Shvatim. He's not really one of the Avos, but he's sort of that transition between Avos and Shvatim. And that comes out in this piece, because when it's time to bless the children of Yosef, the Reb Chaim HaKadosh says, it's very clear, that while Ephraim and Menashe will become Shvatim, Yosef, as the name Yosef, will not be one of the Shvatim. Why not? Why can't Yosef be called one of the Shvatim? He writes in Pasuk Vav, "Umoladetcha Asher v'gomer perish shelo yimne Yosef amakom gimel Shvatim." You should just understand that there's only going to be 2 Shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe, not 3 Shvatim, Yosef, Ephraim, Menashe. We never find Shevet Yosef. Ukufize lo yikare od Shevet Yosef aminyan Shvatim zulas Shevet Ephraim v'Shevet Menashe. Kmokin matzino shekenu, and that's what it was. This is the moment where Yaakov signs off on that. V'yesh lanu lach korzos. We need to investigate this. Lama hotzi Yaakov as Yosef aminyan Shvatim. Why can't Yosef be one of the Shvatim? Kmosh matzino shelo nimda bechlal Shvatim kim Ephraim Menashe v'lama lo yimane hu gamkein. Let there be 14 Shvatim, right? Im Levi, ki Hashem amar elav shu mimenu beis shvatim nosafim lo sheya ker shem Yosef. So he's going to have 2 additional shvatim in the form of Ephraim and Menashe. Why does Yosef have to get bumped? Why can't it be called Yosef and Ephraim and Menashe? Okay.
Aren't those his only children?
Aaron.
Ephraim and Manasseh.
Are Yosef's children?
Are they his only children?
But when they have this, I think so. But when they have this status of Shvatim now, so why can't Yosef also be called? So you'll tell me what do you mean? What is Yosef other than Ephraim and Manasseh? Okay. So look at the last paragraph in Vav. El. He says the answer is as follows, and it's very gavaldic. Eliyesh ledas ma'amar mazal. You need to understand what it says in the Zohar. Ki Yosef hu bechinas nefesh Yaakov. That Yosef and Yaakov are really one soul. V'zeh sh'ram azakasav ba'omru eila toldos Yaakov Yosef. You should understand this is what it means when it says these are the toldos of Yaakov Yosef, because Yosef is the essence of Yaakov. And that's what it means when it says in Tehillim. How do we know that Yosef has quasi-av status? One of the best sources you could bring is this pasuk Tehillim Ayin Zayin. B'nei Yaakov v'Yosef Sela. We're not just called B'nei Yaakov. We're called B'nei Yosef. We're called B'nei Yaakov v'Yosef. V'ramz v'chachmei emes, ki hu b'chinas miloi havav, sha miloi ka'os atzmo. That some letters, if you spell out the letter Aleph Lamed Pei. So the Lamed Pei is not the same as the Aleph. Vav, when you spell Vav, it's Vav. Which means that what? That means that the inner and the outer aspect of Vav are one and the same. Yaakov and Yosef share this inyan of Vav. Now in Tzvas Emes says that Yaakov is Yud and Yosef is Vav. But in other Sfarim we see that they're both this inyan of Vav. Where do you see that? Every time you daven Shmoneh Esrei. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. The Vav by Yaakov is not just for a grammatical reason. That inyan of Vav, the Vav is the Os Bris, right? That's why Yaakov Avinu was guarded in his Bris Mila, this week's Parsha. He gives Reuben a bracha. Reuben, you're the first of my seed. He never lost a drop of seed in his life. Never wasted a drop of seed in his life. Orchaim has a huge arichas about that in terms of Leah becoming pregnant the first time she was with Yaakov, whether or not that's true or not. And Yosef also was guarded by Ishes Potiphar. So the Vav is the letter of Yaakov and Yosef. And the letter Yud is also connected to the letter Vav. Vav is just a longer version of Yud. Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef. Right? It's Yud to Vav. Okay. V'alpi Akdama Zu, so based on this Akdama, Yisyashu Kol HaDikdukim, Ki Yosef Hu Bechinas Yaakov Medregas Av L'Shvatim Yikari. Kirashum Gam Kein Ba'omer B'nei Yaakov Yosef. Yosef is not just a Shevet. He has to lose... He's still called the Shevet in the sense that Ephraim and Manasseh are Shvatim. But Yosef, as Yosef, can't be called one of the Shvatim. Why not let him be one extra Shevet? No, you can't. Because that negates his Av status. Ukefi zeh kesha'amar Hashem liYaakov. Sheyetzu menu od banim. When Hashem told Yaakov, you're going to have two other children. What did it mean? And Yaakov never had those children. He did have those children. Yosef had those children for him. And Yosef's children are exactly the same thing as Yaakov's children. Zeh, right? When we're told he'd have these additional banim, Zeh Yaakov, Zeh Yosef. V'lezeh lo hilbish hanavua b'shar banov. V'lezeh dikdik lomar. That's what it means when the Pasuk says, Pasuk Hay, right? Shnei banecha v'gomer lihem. They're mamish my children. It wasn't just Yaakov say, like Rav Soloveitchik said, you know, the relationship between a grandfather and a grandchild, dafka, comes out in this sugya. Right? It's much deeper than that. It's saying that mamish spiritually, the neshama of Yosef is the neshama of Yaakov. So Yosef having children is Yaakov having children. Perish madregas b'nei Yaakov, lo madregas b'nei banav. They're not treated like grandchildren. They're mamish treated like children. Right? And that's the Rav used to talk about, being able to guard that there shouldn't be a Yerida Sedaros. Right, the chiddush of being able, as a generation goes on, it's still ke'ilu, we haven't gone from one generation to the next. That's a very chashuv. To do that in Mitzrayim, no less, all the more so. They shouldn't become cultured in Mitzrayim. They should be tzaddikim in Mitzrayim, shvatim in Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov clarifies when he says that Ephraim Menashe kiruven v'shimon yuli. That it's mamish like my Reuven and Shimon. Again, this is an important piece to store in your back pocket. You can use it in a lot of different ways. That Yosef is mamish like one of the avos. And therefore Yosef can't be counted alongside one of the Shvatim. The same way that Yaakov is not to be counted as one of the Shvatim. Okay? Can we do one tiny, tiny last little piece? Just b'derech avodah, because I want to end on a... Yeah, you can go. Just look at one very tiny last little piece. Go to Mem Tes Zayin. We'll end with this. Just by the bracha of Shimon and Levi. one tiny little piece. It's for all those times when we have to fight our Yitzhar, you should just know this piece. What does the Pasuk say? Shimon v'Levi achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. Yeah, and they caused a lot of trouble. They fought a lot. Arur apam ki oz. Pasuk says, Arur apam ki oz. That's the Ramasa we're going to look at. Arur apam. Cursed is their anger ki oz, because it is mighty. They were a little bit too angry. So the Chaim HaKadosh says, Arur apam ki oz, perish. L'chelek ha-meruba behem yoser me'ashir ha-ragil hu mekalo. He was cursing what? The additional azus that they had. He wasn't cursing their anger in their entirety because their anger was too much. Yaakov is trying to scale back. He said, a little anger is good. Too much anger is bad. So I'm cursing, right, the mightiness of their anger, the excessive anger and rage that they had. The yishur behem chelak haragil b'chol adam. But I want you to have the normal amount of anger that a person should have. Why? I don't want to negate your Yetzirah entirely. Look what he says. Well, what's the reason for that? You think, oh, to use it for, you know, for Azus to Kedusha. No, that's not what he says. I want you to have a little Yetzirah. Why? Look what he writes. Kedei lekabel schar lolam haba al kviyaso la'avodas Hashem. Because I want you to have something to struggle with. Meaning the excessive anger is just getting you into trouble. It's beyond your ability to make the right choice. I want that's bad. We should get rid of that. But the normal amount of Yetzirah struggle that you have is a good thing. Because by winning those battles, by suppressing, by being kofa that Yetzirah, you'll be able to become great in your avodas Hashem. Shem lo kein yushlo mehem v'chinaso asher ha-musag l'netzach. You can't achieve olam haba without Yetzirah. I shared recently with some people, I don't remember who I shared it with, but someone once came to the Chazon Ish and said, I have a friend, his mom is such a big tzaddik, he mom doesn't have a Yetzirah. So Chazon Ish said, I'm so sorry to hear that. He's a Baal Mum. Mamish a Baal Mum. That's such a tragedy. You know the famous story. It's a true story. I was just reading it. Moshe Aaron Stern, one of his shmuzin, has this story. A crazy story. He said, I used to daven at the Kotel, and there was this kid, there was this fellow who used to daven in Armenian Friday night, and he had this son, and this kid like knew Kol Torah Kula. Right? For some reason, the Malach forgot to smack him, and he knew Kol Torah Kula. And they eventually took him to one of the Gedolim, and they smacked him, and he lost his Torah, so that he should be normal. Took the Belzer Rebbe and the Brisker Rebbe as a whole, as if it's like a real Maisa, right? So it's good to not be an angel. It's good to be normal. It's good to have a normal amount of Yetzirah. And that, if you don't, Chas v'Shalom, it's a Baal Mum. Something's off. It's not normal. So therefore, Yaakov says, I want to leave a little bit so that you can get an Olam Haba. The way to make sure that Shimon and Levi stay out of trouble is to separate them, and that's why he says, "I'm going to make sure that I keep you two apart, because sometimes you can get together in a bad way." But it's an amazing yisod. Ara pumki oz. I'm not cursing because it's too. That's when we look at ourselves sometimes. You say, "I have such a big. I wish I didn't have anything of this yitzhar." No, it's good to have some yitzhar. It's not good to have that much yitzhar. But if I can have it in proper measure and then work on it over the course of my lifetime, that's how a person gets all up. All right, Shkoyach. Shabbos.
Thank you.